Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. Find out our service times. You can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Happy New Year. I hope your year has started out well. I mean, it hasn't had much of a chance yet, but I hope it hasn't already gone south for you. Already having a great year this year. 2015 was a great year, but I'm looking forward to my last year with you with great anticipation and great excitement. I'm telling you, I'm as excited now as I was the first year I came here, back in the Neanderthal days. But I really am excited. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what he is going to do and what he wants to do in the life of his church. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6 and look at some of the words that Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. Melinda Collins, I need to see you after church, please. I've been called to the principal's office, so. No, I need to see you, please. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In 1993, in April of 1993, Dana and I moved into the home that we had built and are living in now. And in June of 1993, I came home, found the side door, the window busted out, the door open. And someone had robbed us. A thief had come in, or thieves, to this day, we don't know who, but God knows, and he's going to get them. But anyway, and took some things of that were treasures to us. We didn't have anything really of great value. Dana had a little jewelry case that had some hand-me-down keepsake jewelry that one of her aunts had given to her, and just little things that she had collected from all over the world as she had traveled all over the world and had passed those down to Dana. And they were so meaningful to her. They were treasures to her. Gone. Treasures and thieves. The Bible says that the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and that's talking about the enemy, Satan. Have you lost something that was a treasure to you? You see my tie? This morning I started out the door, grabbed this coat, put it on, you know, and just pulled my coat down like this, and I felt something. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out this tie that had been rolled up inside this pocket. And I guess I just haven't worn this jacket in a few years. And there was this tie. Now, this tie is a special tie to me. Brother Ronnie gave me this tie. I think it was for my birthday one year. And it's a Garcia tie. I don't know if you're familiar with name brand ties. I wasn't familiar with them. But Brother Ronnie gave me this. And I just love this tie. And when I felt that, I ran my hand down in there and pulled that out. I went back in, changed shirt just so I could wear this tie today. I was just so excited that something that I had lost and that I treasured, I had found. Now, maybe, just maybe, the treasure of Jesus and the treasure of the gospel is something that for some reason it's been close to you, but the thrill of that experience of Christ just isn't what it was. And I want to invite you to remember that we are never more than a decision away from what all from all that God has for us. And so I want to invite you right now to think about getting excited about Jesus. And may we be as excited about Jesus in 2016 as we have ever been about Jesus in our entire lives. And I want you to think about Jesus has given us things, and in the scripture today, he talks to us about things that are eternal. He talks to us about things that you can put it there in heaven, and you don't have to worry that the thief will come in, can slip in, can sneak into heaven and remove that treasure. Those things that you and I have the opportunity to send on ahead. I pray that you will find, that you will reach in your pocket today or reach into your heart, and you will find the excitement that you can have about our eternal Savior and about the things of Christ. And I pray that you will be so thrilled about it that you'll want to share it with others. You think about it being eternal, and I want you to think in terms of expecting Jesus to do what he said he would do, expecting Jesus to come. Now, a few weeks ago, I have a niece that walked down this aisle, and she took me by the hand, and she said, "Uncle Danny, we are expecting." And I don't remember, she said 12 or 13 weeks along, but we are expecting. And it's been a difficult road for them, and she has tried several times, and they've had some real disappointments along the way, but now they are expecting. And they're excited about what is going to take place sometime this year. By the way, did you know on staff we have someone who is expecting? Brother Joe and Sarah are expecting. And they're expecting a boy. And so we're going to have another Joe come into this world. And and we are excited for them about that. And we haven't had a chance much to tease them about it and tease him about it much lately because we've just been such a busy time of the year. But this, you know, we've just come out of an exciting time of the year, a time that people, most people, for some people, I know it's a difficult time of the year, but for most people, it's an exciting time of the year. But I pray that you and I can get excited about Jesus and that we will become more evangelistic than ever before, that we will be determined to promise each other that we are going to be very evangelistic. Now, Brother Daniel, you mean we gotta find us a pulpit and preach? No, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you that everywhere we go, however God wants to use you, become someone that's going to tell people about Christ. You and I have never experienced, short of our own salvation, anything that's more exciting than seeing people come to know Christ as Savior. And it is so simple to do. And it needs to become something that's intentional in our lives, something that is a part of us. And you will just be amazed that whenever you give your heart over to the Lord to be excited about Jesus, how evangelistic you will become. It will just start coming out of your mouth and through your lips before you know it. You will be finding yourself talking to your friends, talking to people that you don't know, encountering them and sharing with them the good news of Jesus, or telling them things, or just saying things in conversation. In the early service, I pointed out a lady that was here named Rita. And I remember Rita telling me one year, sometime around Christmas, she was working in an attorney's office, and there were people that were talking about, I don't know how the conversation came up. It wasn't about the resurrection, but in that attorney's office, the conversation went something like this. Well, you know, and no one has ever come back from the dead. To which Rita said, "I know one that did." It's amazing how planting those little kinds of seeds of the gospel can bear tremendous fruit. You just have no idea how planting a seed of the gospel today, that some years down the road, God may give the opportunity for that person, for that seed of the gospel to have taken root and bear fruit. I was speaking with someone at a wedding this past January 1st, as a matter of fact, on New Year's Day. And I was there with a couple in our church. And somehow or other, well, I guess I was talking about hunting and what success I'd had hunting this year. And so they brought up about one time whenever I had put together a hunting retreat for our men. We went bow hunting down to South Texas. And she said, and her brother-in-law went on that retreat. I said, Sherry, if I remember right, your brother-in-law did not know the Lord. She said, oh, no, he sure didn't. She said, but I am thrilled to report to you that he has found the Lord, and he is a totally different person. Said, after he came to know Christ, we just didn't even recognize him because he was such a changed person in Christ. Amazing, the little things that can take place. At that wedding this past Friday, someone there was talking about a friend of theirs that they had grown up together and just been involved in each other's lives for all these years, and that person was there. And so the person I know that had this friend went over and was visiting with this friend, but also Dana told me that she had heard the conversation about this man that was going over to visit his friend, and this friend did not know the Lord. In spite of all the influence this man had had on this other man all these years, this man still didn't know the Lord. And so I began to work the room, work around, and I made my way over there, and he didn't know that I knew that he didn't know. And so I had the opportunity to tell this man that I just met, boy, we sure could use you to come over here and keep this man who's happened sitting in here right now, keep him straight over there in church. And so I had an opportunity to invite him. And then the man that's a member of our church invited him to come to our men's fellowship supper, which is tomorrow night, by the way. It's amazing all the different ways and the different things that we can do to plant the seed of the gospel and become very evangelistic just by simply becoming intentional in all of our conversations and looking at people with an eternal eye. You students, you think you're going to live forever. Well, you're not going to live forever unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and neither are your good friends. Neither are those friends that you've made friends with in school and down through the years, and you need to be inviting them to become a part of worship and Bible study. And I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to repeat these words. Just everyone look up here and say, I want to invite you to worship and Bible study. All right. Now then, I want you to turn to somebody beside you, and I want you to say that same thing to them right now. Go ahead. Go ahead, practice it. You may have to look behind you or in front of you. Okay, all right, now you're just visiting. You see how easy that was? And do you know that people will respond to you doing that? Now you go out from here and say, hey, I want to invite you to worship and Bible study. Don't invite them to church. Don't use that word. You can use that word once they get here, but when you invite people to church, church is just full of hypocrites. Now, isn't that what you hear? I used to go to church. You invite them to worship and Bible study, and the devil's pat answer that he has for them just doesn't seem to work. Invite them to worship and Bible study. And you go out from here and you begin to invite everyone you encounter. When you go back to work, when you go back to school, when you go back to your clubs and associations that you are a part of, you begin to look at people with an eternal eye and be led of the Holy Spirit to invite them to come with you to Bible study. And maybe you can't get them to church first time. Maybe you can't get them to come to worship and Bible study. You can get them to come to men's supper. Or maybe you can get them to come to one of the ladies' Bible studies. Or maybe you can get them to come to one of the recovery ministries that we have. Or maybe you can get them to come to the rodeo cook-off, which is at the end of February. Or maybe on Super Bowl Sunday, we don't have church on Super Bowl night. Oh, you're one of those churches, huh? No, let me tell you what we are. On Super Bowl Sunday night, we invite you invite classes, invite people to have a Super Bowl party, and invite people to come to your house. And at halftime, you turn the TV off. You don't mute it, you turn it off. And you stand up and just say, I would like to share with you the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And you share your testimony. And then you say, and if any of you would ever like to know more about that, I'd be glad to share that with you. Or you can say, is there anybody else that wants to share? And you just might have your own Super Sunday night and forget about the Super Bowl if people get to share. I invite you to become very evangelistic. And I invite you to join me in becoming as encouraging a believer as we have ever been. Encouraging one another. You know, it's amazing how simple or how powerful simple words can be. It was a little over a dozen years ago, and I was as low and depressed and discouraged as I've ever been. And I was standing up here, and it was obvious how heavy my heart was. There was a lady in our church who was in the choir that morning, and she came up to me and she said, it will be all right. It will be all right. And I'm telling you, those four words put a spark in my heart. That nothing else could. It's amazing how using those little words, as God would put it on your heart, how He would use those things to encourage people at some of the most desperate and difficult times of their life. And let me share with you what it does when you encourage someone. Encouragement does not remain encouragement. It doesn't. Encouragement is something that it becomes something supernatural, because whenever you encourage someone who is discouraged, when you encourage someone who maybe is having doubts, it doesn't remain encouragement, it becomes empowerment. Empowerment. How many of you would not even be here this morning? How many of you in here this morning would not be doing what you are doing in this world if someone hadn't spoken a word of encouragement, and now you're doing what you're doing because God used those few words, little words of encouragement, to empower you to take on the world, to take on your situation that had you down? And I want to share something with you, folks. Empower your children. Empower them by encouraging them and encouraging them in the right direction. One of the greatest ways to encourage them or to discourage them from being in the wrong direction is to encourage them in the right direction. And be a part of it with them. Go there with them. Encourage. Listen, if we adults, if we parents and grandparents don't do our best to build excitement and pass on empowerment to those little ones that are in the seats there with you this morning, in just a few years, where are we going to be? Our greatest job is right here beside us, beneath us this morning. Do everything you can to empower by being an encourager to everyone you can. Now think of, now may the Lord just bring to your mind right now a word of encouragement and bring to your mind someone that needs to hear it. And if you are sure, if you're sure that it's the Holy Spirit telling you that, I don't care if you send them a text right now. It better be the Holy Spirit though, not just a spirit. Just respond to the Holy Spirit as He tells you in this coming year things to do to encourage other people. I shared with you a few weeks ago about a man that I had witnessed to, but he believed that he was going to heaven because he'd been good. And I believe I shared with you that I was going to go and visit with him. Well, I did. It was just a couple of weeks ago. And we sat down together, and I began to talk to him, and I began to share with him, and I pulled out one of our church coins. And on the back of that coin, as you know, it has a prayer that you can pray to trust Christ as your Savior. And he got out a magnifying glass, and he put it on that coin, and he began to read the words. I said, "Have you ever prayed a prayer, something like that?" He said, "No, I haven't." I said, "Well, would you like to go back over that coin and not just read it, but say it as a prayer?" He said, "Yes, I would." And he did. And he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And I share with you, we got the rest of the family in there, share with them what he had done. There was no greater encouragement that that family could receive of this man who was dying of cancer than for that, for him to pray that prayer. I want to ask you and invite you to do one more thing with me this year. I want to invite you to be so excited about Jesus that you are very extravagant in everything you do for the kingdom work. I want to invite you to be extravagant in your giving. I want to ask you to give outside of what you ever dreamed you could give. I want to share something carefully with you. Someone that does not have a lot. And a few years ago, had major debt going on. But they decided, as a couple, to get out of debt. And they did. They got out of debt because they quit spending. And they quit going deeper in debt. And in 5 years, they were out of debt. And this person shared with me, and shared with me confidentially, boasting in the Lord, that this last year, now mind you, this is not someone of means at all, at all. Shared with me that in addition to their tithes and offerings to the church, that they were able to give away $10,000 to needs. And would have never dreamed they could have done it. I want to invite you to experience the joy of being what the Bible calls a hilarious giver. Now, I'm not talking about just money. I want to invite you to be extravagant when it comes to being evangelistic. I want to invite you to be extravagant when it comes to being an encourager and empowering other people. I want to invite you to become so extravagant that we turn the tide of what's taking its toll in this world. Every time we pull up the newspaper or pull up the news on the internet or on your phone or however you look at it, every time somebody has been attacked, some tragedy is taking place, some terrorist has blown up or shot up someplace again, and terrorism has become epidemic, and people are just joining and jumping on the terrorist bandwagon in this world. They're able to connect through all the social media, and they are becoming terrorists just because they think it's cool to be a terrorist and cool to take other people's lives. What did I say about the enemy? He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And boy, the enemy is just having a heyday. I want to invite you. May we become so excited about Jesus and so extravagant in sharing the gospel and so extravagant in helping to empower others for the kingdom and so extravagant in making Jesus famous that we start a movement, that it becomes epidemic, that we infect everyone, everywhere we go, and that for by the grace of God and through His Holy Spirit, that people become infected with what you and I have. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, but Brother Danny, you know, you think that will really work? Do I think it will work? Do you believe that on the third day He rose? Okay. Jesus said, do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do I think it can work? Do I think that good can become epidemic? Let's try it and see. Let's take Jesus at His word. The Bible says that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some people count slackness. So let's take Him at His word, and let's be so excited about Jesus and so extravagant when it comes to being intentional with the gospel that it changes the world. But Brother Danny, we live in the last days, don't we? I sure hope we do. I shudder to think if this world just, if Jesus keeps delaying coming back, what this world's going to continue, the path that it's on. But I do know this. The Bible says that in the last days, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. So, in the last days, we have the opportunity to see one of the greatest revivals that could ever take place because of Him pouring out His Spirit. And folks, time is now. There's an urgency to us being excited about Jesus and sharing Him with everyone and filling up His house, and not just who can we get here, but what can we do? And what can we do for the kingdom? And what does God want to do through His church? And what are the ministries and the missions and the people that He wants to see happen through this church? There are a lot of things, and I want to be sharing some of those things with you in the coming weeks. But there's an urgency. And I handed Howard that coin. And he began to read. And then he prayed that prayer just a couple of weeks ago. And then yesterday, the Lord called him home. The time to share Jesus is now. Would you bow in prayer?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com. Or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.